Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
Okay, now we're working. Thank you, Steve. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for the privilege to speak here. It is a privilege. I don't take lightly. And a lot of things on my mind here to share with you guys. I don't know about you, but every so often I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? You ever ask that question? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Give me revelation. You know, there's a song like, give me revelation. Show me what to do. So today, I'm going to be sharing something about that. What does God require of you and me, right? So we're going to start off in the book of Micah. Micah 6, it says, hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a complaint against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. So every so often, I think in any believer's life, you sometimes say, God, where are you? You know, you question. And, you know, I remember from the book of Judges, where when Gideon, remember Gideon when he was going, I heard about all these miracles that you did, God, but why aren't you doing any of that now? We're in bondage. We're you know, being oppressed. And we you know, we're here in modern day, our current day, we sometimes come to the same conclusion, don't we? We're like, God, I heard about these miracles. I saw these things. But why am I not seeing them in my own life? And then, you know, in the end, there's certain things in Scripture where, you know, you always go back to when you know, you're having little doubt. And I believe Dave shared this one last week when where Peter, when Jesus spoke about, I am eat my flesh, right, and drink my blood. And this was a hard saying. Many of the disciples left, and Jesus said to the disciples, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter said, where are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And that's one of the things, and I think this is kind of like the same thing. Remember what God has done for you, right, in the past. Recount that. And here at the in the end, towards the end of this passage right here, it says, testify against me. You know, don't you remember? I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. And I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And you know, sometimes when we get, when our vision gets a little foggy, Dave just spoke about what, and not having, you know, without vision, the people perish. When our vision gets a little foggy, God puts people around us that we could look to, that can encourage us. There was Moses, there was Miriam, there was Aaron, you know, and he's put people in your lives that will encourage you when, you, and sometimes you're that person, and other times it's somebody else who's there to encourage you. But I encourage you, when your vision gets a little cloudy, recount what God has done. Remember David, before he was going to fight Goliath, he's like, he recounted, God, you delivered me from the lion, the bear, and who is this uncircumcised Philistine before me? In other words, it kind of like builds your inner strength, you know, that God has did it before, he's going to do it again. Continuing on in Micah, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Achaia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? So if you remember, Balak, Balak was seeing the children of Israel, and he's like, look at this multitude. I need to do something about this. And he apparently knew that there was a prophet, Balaam, and he went to him and asked him to curse the children of Israel, right? And he went to curse, and he heard from God, Balaam, and he said, you can't curse these people because they're blessed, right? And so when he wound up, you know, he thought he was going to be given a curse over them, he actually gave a blessing over the children of Israel. You know, and why is God saying remember this? Because, you know, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in his fold. Right, you've got the blessing of God, and you know nobody can curse you. We heard Paul Ballot said, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Right, that's in the book of Romans. Right, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So remember that, you know, you're in God's kingdom. So this is recounting again, remembering who you are, remembering whose you are, and you know it doesn't matter if somebody is asking somebody to put a curse upon you, upon your children, because it has no effect. Because you're covered under the blood of the Lamb. And when you're covered under the blood, there's nothing else that can happen. And, you know, whenever you feel evil coming against you, you plead the blood of Jesus. You know, nothing can come against that, right? It just, it's the most powerful thing in the universe. You know, what can you bring to God? What shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Think of that. Like, these are all offerings, oil offerings, animal sacrifice, right? Is that going to please the Lord? Shall I give my firstborn, even my own son or daughter, the first fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What can you give to God? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? You could just, you know, probably do a message just on this one thing, right? But this is like the basics of it, right? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, there's certain things in the scripture that are foundational that you, no matter what your circumstance is, that you should always, you know, what do I do? What do I do with my life? Well, you can't go wrong if you do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. You can't go wrong at all. And there's also nothing you could give to God for your sin, right? Paolo also said that this morning too, right? You know, there's nothing that you can give in exchange for your soul. Here in Ephesians it says, because by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. So in the very beginning, just like in the book of Micah, where it said, you know, I could give rivers of oil, if you could think of that. This, you know, oil was like the currency of the day, right? So I could give, let's put it into that, I could give billions of dollars, right? Or millions of dollars, whatever you want to say, and you can't cover it. You cannot get forgiveness for your sin of anything that you did. Why? Because it's the gift of God. It's by grace. It's unmerited favor. You cannot earn salvation. It's the one defining thing, the biggest defining thing between any other religion that anybody follows. Well, every other religion on planet Earth is works. You got to do this, you got to do that to get there, and hopefully when you come back in the second life, you know, you won't be a monkey, you'll be something, you know, something better. You know, I mean, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. Or you worship all these different idols. There's a million idols, and you know, if I pray thousands of hours, you know, and if you ever question yourself, I'm not praying enough, you should pray, you should read the Bible, but you can't pray enough, you cannot read the Bible enough to earn your way into heaven. This is what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is. It's through faith, it's by grace, and it's a gift of God that you accept. right? Because if it was any other way, you would be able to boast. And that's, you know, hey, look at me. I did all these things. It's like what the Pharisees did. They wanted to be worshipped, really, is what they did. They wore these fancy clothes, and they had scriptures all over themselves, and they, you know, wanted to be honored, the highest places. That's works-based, and we're not, you know, works-based. We are faith-based. And, you know, you want to know what to do? You know, every single one. You know, isn't it amazing that every person on planet Earth, any person who ever walk the earth or breathe air has separate DNA, and everybody has different fingerprints. You know, it's amazing, right? Like, there's nobody else like you. You're so unique. God created you unique. You're His workmanship. Every single one of you are His workmanship. Anybody listening to this and reading the scripture, you're His workmanship, and you were created to do good works. You want to know what to do? Do some good works, right, in your life. And that could be a lot of different things. So because you're also different, you know, your desires, your strengths are not my strengths, right? Your abilities are not my abilities, right? And that's why it's called the body of Christ. You know, we're all parts. This church is the body of Christ. And we all have separate things that we're supposed to do. Going to go into Deuteronomy now. This is God, you know, foundational stuff too. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. The children of Israel getting ready to possess the promised land that was promised to them, right? After they came out of slavery from Egypt. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments. Fear meaning the reverence of God, not fear like I'm going to get struck down if I slip up. All His statutes and commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. So God makes promises, right? And what's our part? Our part is to, you know, believe Him, believe in His promises, and not to forget His blessings. It's kind of simple in the end. Yeah, there's a lot of like things out there to distract us from all these promises, and we forget sometimes. That's why we have to recount the victories of the past and build on those. So here, God is in the part I put in boldface here. God is telling Israel, and He's telling us, be careful to observe what God has told you, to live the way that He told us to live. So, and then when you do this, you will multiply greatly, just as it was promised you. God's promises are yes and amen, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Remember when the Pharisees asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? This is what he came back to. He said, this is the greatest commandment. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. Again, another foundational thing. You can't go wrong if you love God with all you got, everything that's in you. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, anytime you're doing anything, you should be thinking about God, and it should be your default, right? You know, Doesn't mean you become a monk and you go hide out and all you do is like read the Bible all day long. You live the Bible all day long, yeah. Right? That's what you do. You think about God all day long. When you're thinking about God, when you have His words inside of you, when you teach them to your children and your grandchildren, you know, the blessings will flow. When you lie down, when you go to bed, right, you think about God. I always read the Bible before I go to bed, right? I always pray before I go to bed. When I wake up, I think about God. When I wake up in the morning and I pray for my family and I pray, you know, thank God for another day that he's given me, right, to do good works, right? That, you know, even putting them, you know, on the frontlets between your eyes. Now, if you've ever gone to like a Jewish synagogue, they actually have like the scriptures and they wear this stuff and they actually have it like in these little boxes and things. They take this literally, right? And also on the doorpost too, like they, you know, they'll put scriptures on their doorpost too, you know? And, you know, you could do that in a physical, but what's more important is on the inside, right? Put it on the doorposts of your heart, right? Put it on the frontlets of your mind, right? That's more important. The, you know, cleanse the inside of the cup, not the outside of the cup, right? It's an inside game, as they say, right? Following God is an inside game. You know, you have a unique purpose, every one of you, and this is a declaration. One of the declarations that I look at is like, I understand my assignment and giftings, and I know what God's called me to do and not to do. Sometimes the not to do is the most difficult part of understanding. You know, you have a gift. Everybody has a gift. You have multiple gifts, right? And you are to walk in those gifts. I'm going to talk a little bit later towards the end on, you know, how to figure that out if you haven't figured it out yet, right? But everyone, you know, I mentioned the DNA. I mentioned the fingerprints. You have giftings. You have assignments. What's my assignment, God? And you're walking in your assignment. You might not even realize it, but you are already. Now, David understood what God wanted when he prayed. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Another foundational thing here, you know, love mercy, do justly, walk humbly with your God, have a broken spirit, you know, being humble and a contrite heart, one that's towards God, right? This is why Jesus said in Scripture, David was a man after God's own heart. This alone tells you why David is considered like one of the most important figures in Scripture, because he got this, and he got this before generations got it. I mean, it's quite an amazing thing. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. So if you ever, you know, you come before the God bold, before God boldly, but also humbly too, right? And towards Him. Romans 8, another thing we should be striving for, another foundational thing is to be like Jesus, right? That should be our ultimate goal. You know, want to know what to do? Become more Christ-like every day. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to conform to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Again, you're His workmanship. Do you know that all things work together for good for you? Why don't you say that? All things work together for good. All things work together for good. For me, yeah. Because you love God. Everybody here love God?
Yes.
Yeah. Then guess what? All things work together for good. Even when it doesn't look like it, it is. Sometimes things come into our life that we don't appreciate. And while we're in it, we really think that it's a terrible thing, but sometimes it creates blessings beyond blessings. Sometimes you go through a trial and you come out of that trial, and then you're able to help other people through that same thing that you, because you conquered it through Christ, right? You conquered it, and you're now able to bring that to somebody else. We see people like this all the time with ministries that of overcomer ministries, right? You know, that where people like for drug addiction, right, for example, and you think about like something like Teen Challenge, and you know, some the people that are involved with this, a lot of the people were former drug addicts who overcame. They overcame something. They're able to bring it forth to somebody else. So we all have a unique purpose, and our key purpose, everybody's key purpose. So there's certain things that is true to everyone, and then there are certain things that are true to just you on what you should be doing regarding your purpose. One of them is to be conformed to the image of his son, right? We all could agree on that. That these are things that everybody should do. Loving mercy, you know, being having a contrite heart, looking to God. This is something, what to do is should be your default, and everybody, you know, should have this. But then there's other things that just you are to do, you know, and not me. I have my own things. You have your own things. So we being many are one body in Christ. Again, the church is the body of Christ. That's who we are. But we're many members and individually members of one another. Even though we're the body of Christ, you know, we all have different parts to do. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. This is what I was just mentioning. You've got your gifts, I've got my gifts, you've got your gifts, you know, and all this together makes a beautiful thing when everybody's living in their giftings. But all the members do not have the same function, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If you prophesy, then prophesy in proportion of faith, of our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You know, so sometimes we do these parts at certain times, but some of these things, you know, we all have in us too. But there's certain giftings, you know. Dave and Ruth have been called to pastor the church, right? So, you know, do that with all your heart, soul, mind, body, you know. If you're teaching, today I'm teaching, hopefully I'm doing it with all that I got, you know. I'm bringing it, right? Today, I'm bringing it, right? I'm bringing it because I'm trusting in God to give it to me, to bring to you. But, you know, it's interesting, too. One of the gifts is giving. Think about that. So if you give it wholeheartedly, right? Not, it even says in the scripture other times, not grudgingly, do it, you know, freely, right? And if you lead, you know, and I think we all are leaders, right? You're leading yourself, you're leading other people, do it with diligence and mercy. We all can show mercy. There's times when stuff happens to us and, you know, our default should be, you know, mercy, and do it with cheerfulness. First Peter here, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So another default here, right, is to love. And to love, you know, extravagantly like God loves us. Because why? Love covers a multitude of sins, you know. We did a study years ago. Francis Frangipan did it, and one of the things was to not have it to be unoffendable. Think about that, unoffendable. Nowadays, I think it's the opposite. Most people are like, "What can I be offended with today? let me look for it." You know, to overlook a fault is a divine thing, right? It's a merciful thing, right? To overlook what you might construe as an insult, and many times it isn't an insult, it's just a, you know, the enemy throwing thoughts in our minds that really shouldn't be there. You know, no, I love you and I have mercy and I'm going to overlook this, right? Don't always assume that what you hear is meant for your harm, right? Because a lot of times it's not. It's just like something that's just done by chance, right? So having fervent love for one another is another default of us. What should I do? I should have fervent love. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards. So the gifts that have been given to us, we have to cultivate those gifts, right? If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Say it, in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So no matter what you do, no matter who you are, no matter where you go, in all things, do it to the glory of Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. I could end right there. But I'm not. I got more. I got more stuff. I'm bringing it today. Will, I'm bringing it. says I'm supposed to speak like the oracles of God, right? So, and you know, it is God's word, right? It's not my word, right? We have to do our part. I remember once I did a message called 99% God, 1% me. And there's still the 1% you. You still got to do something, right? It's not like you could just like crawl up in a ball and expect God to do stuff. You got to like get out there and do stuff. You got to like activate it, like it's saying here. You got to activate your gifts, right? It's still some effort on your part and knowing that it's all from God. Here's what Jesus told his disciples. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Start with those around you, your family, right? And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. This is a commandment that's given to us today, too. So I think it was two Sundays ago when Jeremy spoke. He hit, you know, I think the nail right on the head. We just had a great loss in our family of believers where Pastor Peter from King of Kings Church was called home earlier than anybody ever expected, right? And, you know, you could question, like, where is God, right? Why? Why, God, why? It says we understand, you know, a little bit. You know, we see through a window dimly, you know, like if you think of opaque glass, I can make it out. I could see. You get glimpses, but we don't understand everything, right? But one thing's for sure, if you pray for somebody and they don't get healed, don't give up. Pray for another person. Keep on praying for another person. And keep on praying. You prayed for somebody who's dead and you pray for them to raise up. Person didn't raise up. Give up? No. Pray for the next person, right? Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. See, you know, I prayed for somebody and the demon wasn't cast out. Keep on praying for it. Don't give up, right? Keep on trying, right? Again, freely you have been given. You've been given the gifts of God. It's really, we're doing a disservice if we don't do these things and we don't, you know, believe these things, right? Somebody's, you know, got an injury. Let me pray for the healing of your shoulder, or let me pray for the healing of your knee. How does that feel? Still hurts. Okay, well, I'm not going to give. I'm going to pray again. And, you know, eventually you're going to hit it, you know. It's going to happen. Now, I don't understand why every person you pray for doesn't get healed, but I do know people you do pray for do get healed. I do know some people who have died and were prayed for got raised up again. I've heard of these testimonies. I've seen also people being healed, right? So never give up doing these things. This is also, what am I to do? This is what you should be doing wherever you go, wherever you're where you are. I'm not, right? Right? So you're surrounded by people and interacting with people, the different people from me. So you're to do all of this stuff. All right, now I'm gonna shift to the book of Ruth. And you're gonna say, why are you doing that? Well, I'll tell you in a bit. It's connected. You might not think it is, but it's connected. So Ruth and her husband, they went into a foreign land. They had two sons. The sons married Moabite women, one named Orpah, the other one Ruth. Naomi, her husband died in that land. Her two sons died in that land. And that brings us to this point. Now, Naomi's like, I'm going to go back to Israel where I came from. I lost everything, you know. I'm empty-handed. So she tells her daughter-in-laws, go back to your families, you know, and it was really great, really loved you. Naomi must have had something that really reflected God. Even though she went through all these terrible things, there had to be something that was super attractive to her, as you will see right here. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. This is her daughter-in-law, Naomi's daughter-in-law. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. Don't let me leave you. Or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. So, you know, obviously they worshipped other gods in Moab, right? And Orpah went back to worshiping those gods. Ruth saw something in Naomi, and like, you know, it's like that verse that I mentioned earlier, Peter, where shall I go? You have the words of eternal life. There's nothing for me in Moab. You know, it doesn't, I don't see these things. Even though these tragedies came into our life, I lost my husband. You got something there, and your God is the God, the only God, the true God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Wow, that's a real commitment to following her mother-in-law. When she saw that she was so determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now, the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them, and the women said, is this Naomi? You know, sometimes, not sometimes, we all need to attach ourselves to somebody else who is serving God in a way that reflects the image of God. You need to surround yourself with people who are following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they need to be that you need to find your tribe in Christ. And, you know, there's different streams in the body of Christ, right? But you need to find your tribe. You need to stick with them. And you need to live life with them. And then when you do that, the blessings of God follow you. All these foundational things, you know, love, mercy, you know, contrite heart, you know, walk humbly. All these things, they build on each other. But then there's also, you know, who am I to connect with? When you do these things, blessings flow. Blessings that are unimaginable, incomprehensible. You know, it speaks in a scripture in Jeremiah that you have a future and a hope. Every one of you have a future and a hope. And nobody can take it away from you. Unless you give it away. You got to give it away. So if you believe you have a future and a hope, and you believe the future is going to be better than the current situation, which I do, I think it's just going to get better and better, you know, until the day I die. I'm just so excited about all the things I'm going to see and all the people that I'm going to be around. And, you know, the way that God's going to bless you and the way that God's going to bless me. You know, it's exciting. This is what happens when you follow God and you do all these foundational things. Crazy stuff happens. Therefore, crazy good stuff. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, so let me give you a little bit more info here. So they're in they're very poor. They don't have anything, Naomi and Ruth. So Naomi told Ruth to go into the fields and get some, you know, pick some barley. And she told her about this man Boaz, who was like in their family line, like a distant relative. And in those days, they had redeemers. If the man had passed away, the redeemer is supposed to take care of the family, right? And there were people who were closer. There was a person closer than Boaz to Naomi, and that person was said that they didn't want to redeem Naomi or her properties or Ruth, who comes along with the baggage, so to speak, or it's not baggage, actually it's a good thing, but this man didn't want to do that. So Boaz is like, I'll do it, you know, I'll do it. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he said, I'm not going to buy Naomi's husband's lands. So he took off his sandal, and this is how they did things back in the day, and Boaz said to the elders and the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech, that's Naomi's husband who passed away, and all that was Chilion's, that was the son that had died, and Mahlon, the other son who died, from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. This is what it was said to do in the Bible back then. If a husband died, like other sons should take on that woman and have children with that woman of the widow. But here it was another distant relative here. So he's taken all the lands and Ruth too, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. So all the properties and Ruth, Boaz took Ruth as his wife. Isn't that a nice story? Isn't that great? That's not where it ends. Wait till you see what comes next. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. And when he went in to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Wow, blessings coming, right? She didn't have children before that. Children are a blessing from the Lord. That's what it says in the scripture. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. She had a grandchild. She had no grandchildren at all. Here's a grandchild, and she became a nurse to the grandchild. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of King David. And you know who else is in the line of David? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All that happened because a woman who wasn't even Jewish. Think about that. There's also in the line, also in this line too, I was just listening to this about this morning. Ronnie had it on. She was playing it while we were getting ready for church. It was the book of Judges, right, where the Battle of Jericho. And they said, you know, kill everybody except for Rahab, the prostitute. Rahab is in the line too. And she wasn't even Jewish either, right? So, you know, It's amazing. Like when you attach yourself to people who are following God, when you do these foundational things, blessings will flow. Blessings that are mind-blowing blessings for you, your children, your children's children, to 1,000 generations, it even says, right? You believe that? It's true. So he's the father of Jesse, the father of David. Wowzer. So another thing too, like I heard, and you guys probably heard too, like when you know you should, being a Christian, you know, you should be humble, right? You should, but and you should be poor too, right? And it was like, well, if you're poor, how do you help the poor? You can't help the poor if you're poor, but if you're blessed, you can. You can. So does God want you to enjoy life in general? You know, you don't have to be like serving in full-time ministry to be serving God. You know, if you're called to do certain things from a work perspective, that's what your calling is too. Something you enjoy, that's your calling in life, one of your callings at least. So Ecclesiastes says, enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. So God's telling you, enjoy life. Again, in Ecclesiastes, it says, I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities. So it's okay to be happy in what you do. Get joy from whatever you like to do in work. I like what I do for a living. Hopefully you do too. If not, you're probably not doing the right thing. You probably should be, you know, working in a different place. Or doing another thing if you have options. For that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? So it's okay and it's good for you to be happy in the activities of life. And John 10:10, and everybody, I encourage you to memorize this verse. This is like, if you want to know what you're looking at is from God or not, you think about this verse. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? I've come to give you life and to give it abundantly, abundant life. So if you ever wonder, you know, if what you're hearing is the right thing to do, if it aligns with steal, kill, and destroy, that's not God. If it aligns with abundance and joy, that's God. And that's what he wants for you. He wants you to have an abundant, rich, filled life. So if you're really not sure, this is a little practical stuff. I looked this up and I took some samplings of things for you to ponder, right, about your purpose, right? So what is my purpose? And I'm like, why am I here, God? What's my purpose? You know, you probably have multiple purposes, right? Your purpose is, you know, maybe what you're doing for work. Your purpose is, you know, your family, what you're doing for your family. You know, your purpose is who you hang around with, your friends, right? How you could encourage them. You know, you have maybe ministry work too. That's your purpose. There's multiple things. And I was just listening to the Bible this week too, and I was thinking about, you know, Samuel, right? And his mother had prayed for a child. And she said, if you give me this child, I'm going to give it to you. And she did, and he was like the prophet in Israel at that time. Her calling was to bring forth a son and to dedicate the son to being a prophet in Israel. Yesterday, me and Ronnie went to see a movie called Cabrini. Encourage you to see it. It's a really great. It's about this woman, Italian nun, and she developed this worldwide ministry. But I was thinking when I was pondering this message too. Like, so she had with her like six other nuns so she had this vision, and these other nuns helped her to see that vision, and it became a worldwide ministry in the end. And she had so much stuff against her, and there was one point in time when she was ready to give up. And then this woman, who was also a prostitute, who she took out of that lifestyle, if you could call it that, and she said, you know, I saw you, and I saw you had like an armor on you and you were fearless, and that's what you need to do. You know, you shouldn't give up. And she didn't. And then after that, she remembered what God had done already. And then she built on that, just like all these things that I just spoke to you, that you build on. Those other nuns, that was their purpose, to support that vision, to help that vision. And she couldn't do it by herself, right? There were multiple, probably thousands of people involved in that. Harness a passion. What are you passionate about? What drives you? That's one way. Consider what motivates you. You know, I really like to do X, you know, and I'm really good with my hands, or, you know, which I'm not. I have a brother who's really good with his hands, and he's a potter, right? And he could do that. I could never do that, right? So that just shows you. You do the things that you're good at. If you're not sure, ask somebody, what do you see about me that's unique? What do you think my gifts are? And people will see it in you, even if you don't see it in yourself. Define the skills you enjoy. Let go of limiting thoughts. Oh, I can't do this. It's not possible for me to go here. I will never be able to accomplish that. Yeah, well, get rid of that, those type of thinking. You know, find a community that inspires you. That's kind of like what Ruth did with Naomi. She connected. She saw the gold in her, and I want that, you know, and I want that to be part of my life. So this is really what I wanted to share with you guys. I have some declarations in closing. This is the last slide I have here. So if you want to repeat these declarations, and then we're going to have Holy Communion. So those of you online, if you want to grab some bread and some grape juice or wine so that you could share with Holy Communion. So if you could repeat this with me. I understand my assignment and giftings, and I know what God's called me to do and not to do. I will live justly and love mercy. I am created to do good works. I love God and am called according to his purpose. And that's what she wrote. Thank you.